UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
Be a part of the show. Text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
Don't forget my friends at Genesis Diamonds, who have a deal where you can buy a diamond, and if you want to upgrade after a couple of years, you bring it back, and they will give you not only 100% of your purchase price towards a new diamond, but they'll add 10% to it. How great is that? When else do you find things that don't depreciate like that, that are so valuable? This is a great opportunity. They already have the best selection, the best diamonds, the no cheap knockoffs. These are the real designers. And if you buy, just as an example, say you bought a $5,000 diamond, a couple years later you want to upgrade, if you bring it back to them, they'll give you $5,500 towards your new diamond. They'll give you the original $5,000 you paid plus 10% more, so $5,500. So if you see a $7,000 diamond you like, instead of paying $7,000 for it, you only pay $1,500, adding to what you got credited for with your first diamond. That is a company that loves how they their customers and wants to make you a customer for life. So check them out at Shelbyville Road Plaza next to Trader Joe's. Remember, their staff, trained diamond experts, not commissioned salespeople who can try and upsell you something you don't really want or can't really afford. They are going to take care of you, and they will make you not only a customer for life, but a friend for life. That's what they've done with us, and you'll feel the same way. Genesis Diamonds over next to Trader Joe's, Shelbyville Road Plaza. All right, we are going to have Lara Overton join us now. Yay. Okay, so let's bring her in. Lara is a producer, host, and reporter for the Indianapolis Colts, and she also covers track and field for ESPN, among others, but we're here talking Colts, and let's bring her in right now. Lara, good to talk to you again. Boy, a lot has happened since I talked to you last time. They signed another quarterback, and the team made a big financial and contractual commitment with Andrew Luck being out to Brissett, and I'm curious, with that deal in place, how much – I don't know what the word would be. The vibe, if you will, has become that everybody is clearly now understanding, everybody get under the tent, it's Brissett's team. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that was the attitude already, at least within the locker room. In terms of that contract, I think, you know, if that's a statement to anyone or anyone outside the building, that's more directed towards getting the rest of them and kind of securing that commitment to Jacoby Brissett. In terms of within this locker room, this coaching staff and Chris Ballard, they've been committed to Jacoby. That is just the status with which they have been the entire time that he's been there. Yes, we have a commitment to Jacoby, and, you know, from the time that he was leading this offense through the spring, OTAs, into training camp in the preseason, they have insisted, you know, we believe that Jacoby is a top 20 quarterback. So that mantra has continued. That sentiment has been consistent. The extension, I think, does two things. It makes a clear statement to the outside world that with bringing in the veteran quarterback in Brian Hoyer, that Jacoby's job is still very stable and very set, and he is your number one guy, and that you're not bringing in Hoyer with the intention that he will supplant Jacoby in any way. And then, you know, it's also making sure that he is in that realm of what starting quarterbacks are being paid. And so it's just an overarching statement to perhaps everyone outside of the organization in the confidence that they have in Jacoby Brissett for the immediate future.
Not an easy first game, right? Well, Lara had to L.A. and play the Chargers, start on the road, a decent team.
At that.
Yeah, it's gonna.
Yeah,
they. I was going to say they're getting pretty good support in that crazy little stadium there. They're getting, obviously it's a different environment. What are you looking at as the preview for this game, and how important do you think it is for the Colts to get off to a good start? More so than, I mean, everyone wants to get off to a good start. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
is there an added emphasis if they could do a couple of good things early in the year to kind of, because this team, Tony Dungy, you retweeted, he still thinks this team is set for a really big year.
Well, and I think if you look at the Colts division in particular, you can certainly say that this team has a viable chance to win their division and to go to the playoffs, because, there's a lot of dysfunction typically, within the AFC South. So it truly is kind of an any horse race at this point. And I think that the Colts have the most potential of any of those teams within their division, but they certainly do need to go out and make a statement in LA. Yes, the Chargers were a playoff team last year. You have Phillip Rivers, who is just, one of the most consistently, effective quarterbacks in the league, a guy who's very tough to rattle. He's tough on opposing defenses to get to. So, yeah, this is a big test for the Colts. But should they go out and start with a victory and go 1-0, and we hear that is the mantra that Frank Reich has instilled since he set foot in the building, that would make a huge statement to quieting all of that outside noise and all of those naysayers who think, Andrew Luck stepped away, so the Colts, are no longer a playoff contender. They're, before this year we were saying Super Bowl, and now, one guy changes and the rest, there's an impending collapse, I think, from the outsider's perspective of what happens after that. So this certainly, for them to go out and have a very strong week one, would just eliminate a lot of that outside distraction and maybe a lot of that outside talk, which I'll tell you, this locker room is not one that is much affected by any of that outside crowd noise. They're a very introverted team in the sense that they take what is being said among themselves, and that is what they thrive on. They kind of are pretty good about keeping the blinders on, so to speak, and just staying in their lane and doing what they do well. That's one thing, as we talked to him this week about preparing for the Chargers, they keep insisting, we can't alter what we do to affect them. We just need to consistently do what we do well and stick with that. And that's going to be our game plan. And that's what we have heard Matt Eberflus from a defensive perspective really reiterate over and over since he set foot in Indianapolis. So, yeah, it's going to be a big test for them. But you have to keep in mind, Frank Reich still returns the majority of his starters from 2018 on this roster. This defense is improved with the addition of Justin Houston in the pass rush, a couple of draft picks as well in the secondary. And then you also have an offense that added some weapons. When you see Devin Funchess and what he's been able to do, you have Paris Campbell, you have Deion Kane, who is set to have a really strong, breakout year after being sidelined with that ACL. And, hey, a healthy Jack Doyle doesn't hurt things either. So in terms of looking at the weapons that Jacoby DeBrissett has at his disposal, things are looking really strong for them, especially if they can set the tone early in L.A.
You mentioned a guy I've always admired the way he carries himself and the way he does his business. But Frank Reich, certainly, I think, basically he's been as there's a fine line, Larry, and I want to see if you can help us amplify this, between being like, as the old saying goes, as steady as the clock on the wall, but also not being a very inspiring person and, being so quiet that you're so milquetoast that people look past you. He seems to walk that fine line very well. He's not going to fan the flames of controversy or the stuff that just went on with Luck and new quarterbacks and all that. Mm-hmm. But he's also not a guy that the players are not excited to play for. So he seems to, maybe he embodies that new modern kind of coach where I hate to use that cliche, but you got to be a communicator. What do you make of how he does his business and how the team reflects on the tone that he sets?
I think it's a testament to two things that Frank possesses. One of those, his career as a backup and the success that he had as a career backup, of course, with Buffalo and leading, the greatest comeback in NFL history, and then coaching a Philadelphia Eagles team to the Super Bowl with a backup quarterback. Frank Reich is unflappable. There is, pretty much anything that can come your way, Frank Reich has either dealt with or is prepared to handle in one aspect or another. The other thing you have to keep in mind is in Frank's time after he finished playing, and before he committed to coaching, he was studying ministry. So there is very much a confidence in which you see and a way in which Frank communicates when he is at a podium or when he is in that locker room. The command that he has is almost like seeing him at the pulpit. And as, you know, a really strong preacher is able to communicate with his congregation, this is his congregation. And you see him, you know, you see him really well communicate a message and how well, not only does he deliver it, but how well received his messages are. And he's not a big, he's not a yell guy. He's not a big get fired up guy. He's, yes, very steady, very even keel. But it's the, he chooses words that are so specific and that are just so appropriate for the situation. Like last week when he was talking about paradox. And it's just those types of things that Frank can dial in and almost, he just finds an extra level of the mentality of whatever it is. It's not, he's not so cliche in what he says. He finds new ways to maybe explain the same things you've heard, but do it in a way in which it resonates different or is applied differently. And he is really fun to listen to from a perspective of sitting there and, you know, listening to his press conferences multiple times a week.
All right, it's always great to catch up with you. Hopefully we'll get a chance soon, maybe even next week. We certainly enjoy the updates. Of course, we are the Colts affiliate here in town, so a lot of Colts fans will be listening as the season gets underway in Los Angeles, and we'll talk to you then. Are you going to L.A.? You making a trip with them?
I will be, yeah. I'll be making the trip. So I will actually be on radio sidelines throughout the regular season. I did the TV broadcast sidelines for preseason, radio sidelines alongside Matt Taylor and Jim Sorgic for regular season. So you'll be able to hear me on Sundays as well.
Very nice. Well, best of luck to you and congratulations. We'll talk soon. Be well.
Thanks so much.
All right. We are, that's Lara Overton from the Indianapolis Colts. We're getting ready for a start here for race number 3 at Kentucky Downs. I know we've had a lot of entries to our parlay contest to pick all four, pick a horse that's going to be first, second, or third in all four of the races, and you'll be entered for a big drawing for one of our big prizes. This is a tough one, I think, in my mind, because these are two-year-old maidens. You don't have a whole lot to go on, but they're just about at the gate, and we're going to go to Michael Rona for the call of the race. The tickets that are still alive in our little contest, 187 for the first race and 712-6 in the second race. So if you've got a combination of those two, you're still alive. You're halfway home. Let's see if you can keep it going here in race number 3, and let's get the call now from Michael Rona.
Lunar Gree, one of the first away with Atlas Moon. We're still here. We're still here. Is getting back into midfield early. The Drake is looking for the lead. And the Drake is right up there in the early stages as they head into that far turn. Atlas Moon going up just in front of him. Lunar Gree and Art Collector have plenty of early pace. So it's a long shot debutante. Lunar Gree, the front runner. By one length, Art Collector on the outside of Atlas Moon. Three lengths to Jolting Joe. And they're followed on the inside by We're Still Here. Five lengths off the lead from Run Tech. Two lengths to the Drake blending into midfield from Duke of Carthania. And wider on the course comes Golden Devitt. Ten off the front. Three lengths to Natural History, who's a long way back with Shotsky and Arjzal. They have 3/8 left to go. Lunar Gree from Art Collector. They're two lengths in the front at the top of the lane from Atlas Moon, followed by Run Tech. And just in behind them is We're Still Here near the inside in the gold cap. Jolting Joe the Grey is looming as some sort of possibility. Then Duke of Carthania being pulled out very wide on the course with Golden Devitt as they charge down past the eighth pole, where it's Art Collector heading Lunar Gree. Jolting Joe coming on with Duke of Carthania, Golden Devitt, the Drake. They have 150 yards to go. It's Art Collector from Jolting Joe. Art Collector going great guns. Clear of Jolting Joe and Art Collector in hand late for Mosquitza beats Jolting Joe, close for third between Duke of Carthania and Golden Devitt.
Ooh, wow. Going to be interesting there. My little 50-cent pick four ticket here.
Hey, there we go.
Well, I got the first. I soloed the seven in the last race. That was a pretty obvious one. But I think unless the Duke of Carthania, the three, got up for third, I think I'm done in our little thing here.
Yeah.
Our show parlay. No, I'm out of the pick four. I'm sorry, I misspoke. That was dumb. My horse, I confused our contest with my pick four. My pick four ticket's dead. The horse that won, I didn't have.
I was going to say, it was like.
Yeah, I was absolutely, I just had a brain lock there. But I don't know. I have a bad feeling that this might have eliminated a lot of people. What number one?
Well, not sure who came in third. It was 11 and number nine won
and went off.
Because it went 9-10, almost 11.
Oh, so 9 was the favorite, 6-5 favorite. Okay, good. All right, that's good. The 9 Art Collector, written by Adam Bischizze. How you doing?
Hey, bada bing.
So, okay, well, it's chalky, but that's good because I want people to have a chance to win our prize. So, very good.
I think we're going to be joined by some guests.
Yeah, we are. Let's take a commercial break, and then we'll come back and get settled. So, we'll do that, and then when you come back, we'll give you the numbers, and so let you know if you're still in our contest. So, the fact that it's a favorite that won is good because it means we probably have a lot of people still alive. So, stick around. More to come here from Kentucky Downs on ESPN 680-1057. Hey, come on in.
You're listening to The V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Thanks for being with us here today as we roll on from Kentucky Downs. And we've been here during some thunderstorms and some nasty weather. No such problems today. What a gorgeous, gorgeous afternoon. And I hope you're winning some races. And you probably are if you listen to one of our next guests, because you're just giving people winners left and right today, aren't you, Kate and Bredar?
Today, what a difference a day makes. It's good you're here today and not on opening day, because I was with everybody else.
Well, it's always better what's the old adage, better to win on a short-priced horse than lose on a long shot or something? I don't know. It's been a little chalky today. But
It has been, but you know what they say, too. Losing day at the races is better than most days anyplace
else. That's a good point. Well, it's been delightful. It's good to see you again. It's good to see our jockey Aaron Greider with us, who's joining us as well, although he's in civvies today because you're not doing any riding today. But you are going to be riding here, you were telling me, huh?
I am. I ride a few this weekend. I ride tomorrow Blended Citizen in the 10th race for Doug O'Neill, so very excited about that.
What's it like riding? This is a weird, I don't mean it in a bad way. I love it, but it's shaped like a carabiner. You got a little right turn at the start. What's it like, this racetrack? How much different is it for the jockeys?
Well, it's very different, but you'll see, because of the great purse structure that they've had over the last several years, many of these riders, most of them, have been here and very acquainted with it. So it's not new to them, but it's new to a lot of the horses. We're very spoiled here in America, and you said you wanted to go to Ascot.
I do. We'll talk about that in a minute.
This is a racetrack that's unique all throughout America. Nothing's like it. This is, you know, we're used to level playing field where it's level ground, usually an oval that's a mile to a mile and a half being the biggest at Belmont Park. But we don't have to consider we're going uphill or downhill or when do you move, because we have to save the energy for that long climb up the stretch. And, you know, here you do. You have to understand your horses. The riders have to know the angles of, you know, when you go from left to right hand turns, you don't just stay on the rail. You need to know when to cut across to, you know, sometimes down the backside and you don't see it from sitting here. You'll be in the middle of the track when you're going from that one point to the next point, because if you stayed on the rail, you'd probably lose about two lengths ground. It's all about angles, and these top riders that have been doing it for years understand that.
I never thought about that, but yeah, if you're turning right and then you're turning left, being on the rail as soon as you turn the other way is now, you know,
exactly.
you're in an eight path.
Exactly.
You're way out there. Never thought about that.
Aaron and I were talking about this. I walked the course last year, and just to kind of get the perspective of the riders. And the other thing that I think is really hard to see unless you're out there riding it is how banked the turn is. Rick Hammerley, who was here for the first time when he looked at it, he calls it the Daytona turn, because that final turn is so banked.
Wait, the turn coming to the stretch?
Coming into the stretch, it's banked.
Really?
And so positioning kind of going into the turn, I would think, and how fast you're going would help you be able to maneuver and have position, hold position, and be able to take advantage of it, too.
See, that's weird for me, because as a jockey, we can talk about it. You can't really tell the horse, all right, listen, Swaps, here's the deal. We're going to make a right turn. We're going to go uphill there. Then don't freak out. The track is going to be uphill and then downhill and then banked. If they haven't seen this before, do some of the horses freak out at that?
I don't think they necessarily freak out, but it's a new experience to them. And if anything, it probably helps some of the horses that might be a little bit anxious on the front end, because they're looking at things that are different. They might be a little more reserved and you know, save some of their energy because they're waiting for your cue to tell them where to go.
You've got to visit with me about this, because I said off air, I've been reading about your resume, and it's a hugely distinguished resume with all the horses you've ridden and races you've won and stakes races, but you've ridden at Royal Ascot, which I've never gone. That's on my bucket list. And what'd you tell everybody what you told me when I brought it up?
No, I think Ascot is, you know, the most incredible place you could possibly go. It's definitely the best experience I've ever had in racing, and I've been all over the world. It's a place that the Queen comes to every day, and that's
an event every day of the meet.
Of the Royal Ascot meet, she comes down prior to the races. She'll come down in a horse-drawn carriage, and you know the odds makers actually have odds on what color she'll wear that day, and so it's a big event.
They do that with Kate and here, by the way.
Absolutely, but it's just a course. It's just like so much history there, and just a beautiful course to ride, and the horses that have run there and the riders that are there now are just, you know, so much part of the royal family and part of racing. Just
forgive me for not knowing, but how big is it?
It's a mile and three quarters. And they run the opposite way.
Yeah, so you're running backwards. Well, for us, backwards. That's so American.
Sure.
I mean, they're
running. Sure, right. We're right.
We're doing it the right way. Right, yeah. They're doing it backwards. But how about the atmosphere? Is it just
amazing?
Is it like just the excitement in the crowd? Everybody.
It is. I did a show like 2 days before I rode there, and it was like a Good Morning America, but it was on horse racing. It was that popular where, I mean, the country tunes in for it, and the crowd is unbelievable, the excitement, obviously the fashion, and, you know, it's an event. It's not just a day at the races. And, you know, this is what's great about Kentucky Downs is it's becoming more and more of an event. I rode here the first year they ran many, many years ago when it was dueling grounds. We didn't even have a starting gate, and we just started from a line, and if somebody got off to a false start, they waved a flag,
You're
and we
kidding.
Had to restart.
There was no starting gate.
There was no starting gate.
That's
the first day we ran.
Talking throwback.
So I mean, yeah, I can
like
tell you some history about
that.
This place.
I would love to see that. I'd like to. I was in Europe, and they used to have the horses would like walk around in a circle, and then they would just basically say go. I don't know, and then it just all took off.
What we did is we walked on the outside fence, 12 horses, and then they told at a line. They told the inside horse to point towards the front rail, and we all followed that horse until he got to the inside rail, then we all churned and went. Now, you could kind of take an edge if you were on the outside post and kind of cheat the churn, but they did have somebody there that flagged us back on one start because somebody got a false start, and we had to restart them.
That's wild.
But it was fun.
How about that? Very, very pleased as we continue talking with Mr. Grider and Ms. Breedar here from Kentucky Downs. And I should ask you more than Aaron this about the stakes races that are coming up here, because there's a lot of dough on the line in this joint.
Well, you know, that the one thing I have to say every day, even when you don't have the stakes races, there's a lot of dough. This has really become the meet that horsemen are pointing for because of, and the jockeys as well are looking at this as this meet to mark on your calendars, because even the least quality race carries purses upwards of $100,000. So you don't have the opportunity
amazing.
With a lesser caliber horse or on a day and day basis to run for that kind of money. So this really can make or break a lot of people as far as success here. And it just takes one or two wins and you've had a really good meet. But the big race is coming up, especially on Saturday. You're looking at a race now that will be a win and you're in race for the Breeders' Cup with the sprint. The horse that wins the sprint not only wins a huge amount of money, but also gets all expenses paid to the Breeders' Cup.
Wow.
And a guaranteed spot to run in it, which is huge.
Yeah, no kidding.
Especially when you don't know. Those races have become some of the most important races on the calendar, and it was kind of a goal of the management here to make sure that they had the quality of races that would warrant consideration by the Breeders' Cup. So that's a big addition to the calendar for a race that's always been good. Today's Old Friends is, you know, the Old Friends was always considered, because it's for horses who haven't won a stakes race, as sort of a lesser stake. It wasn't, you know, the quality of some of the other stakes. This year it's as competitive. I mean, when they drew the entries, you had horses that had run in the Breeders' Cup. So it's as competitive as a race any other day.
It's their full field. So that's the other thing. I mean, as a bettor, you love that. I mean, you love when you're coming in every race, they got 12 entries.
If you can pick them. I said the more horses to choose from. But no, you're 100% right. And that's what's, I mean, the one thing that all bettors across the country and fans too are looking for are good, deep, competitive races. And regardless of the label, whether it's a stakes race, whether it's a maiden race, that's what you're getting here over the course of the meet. There's no place else in the country in part because it's shorter and in part because of the prize money, that you're going to find this many horses in every single field.
Kate and Bredar, Aaron Greider with us here from Kentucky Downs. A few more minutes before we let them go. I was reading your bio. You grew up around a racetrack, but, you know, you had nothing, your family didn't have anything to do with horses, and yet you always wanted to be a jockey. How'd that come about?
My grandparents were at the races every day, so I shouldn't say they had nothing to do with it. They were definitely at the windows for every race at Santa Anita and then at Los Alamitos quarter horses at night. So I grew up loving the weekends with them, and as a four-year-old, I said that's what I wanted to do. So
really?
I was never on horses, and truth be told, I was afraid of them. But I said this is what I'm going to do, and first horse I ever got on was when I was 13 years old. I met a retired jockey and went to his farm, and he offered to teach me that summer about horses before I got on them. And then I was supposed to go back to school and back home, and I called at the end of that summer and said, is it okay if I don't come home? So we start very young. I moved out of my house when I was 13 years old.
And oh, my goodness.
By the time I was 16 years old, I was living in Tijuana alone as a professional jockey.
And you had great success right away there, didn't you?
I was very fortunate. I definitely got the opportunities that gave me the chance, but I had a great upbringing as far as the people that I learned from prior to riding. And then once I got started, I was riding for legends like Charlie Whittingham, Ron McAnally, Eddie Gregson, Joe Manzi. I mean, it was just, the list went on when I got to California as a young kid that was 16 years old, getting opportunities to ride unbelievable horses.
What's the racing like in Mexico? What was it like in Tijuana?
It was definitely, you know, not to the level of this that we're at right now, but excuse me, it was a lot of fun. It was a great school for me. I don't think I could have advanced as quickly as I did had I not been there. The gentleman who taught me how to ride, excuse my voice, I've had a little cold. The gentleman who taught me how to ride told me, if you want to make a big impression, you need to go somewhere first, get the butterflies out, because if you're going to make it in California and on the big circuits, you need to get the confidence and be able to show off when you get there. So, you know, I still had a lot to learn when I got to California, but it was a great school for me being in Tijuana. And you know, I don't know much about the town. I was 16 years old, and I stayed in my hotel and waiting for the next day to ride.
Where do you go from here? What are you going to ride all the dates here, or just tomorrow? Or are you staying?
I just ride tomorrow and Sunday, and they haven't drawn for Thursday yet, so I still may work on Thursday as far as jockey. But if not, I'll be doing some TV work. And you know, I love Dueling Grounds. I love the people in Kentucky. I was many years ago, in 1990, I was leading rider at Churchill Downs, and I don't get to see a lot of the people I rode for unless they come out for the Breeders' Cup in different points of the year. So it's fun. Even if I, you know, don't ride that much, I love being around the racing, the excitement here, and, you know, joy in Nashville. And
yeah, that's not so very far away. Absolutely.
But from here, I'll go back to Santa Anita.
It's wonderful to see you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Staying with us for a little bit.
Of course.
Best of luck. When do you ride? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow, ride the $1 million race, Blended Citizen.
Good luck.
Let's get it done.
All right. Sounds good. We appreciate that. Aaron Greider with us here from Kentucky Downs. We got about 9 minutes till race number four, which will be the last one of our show parlay, if you want, for lack of a better word. These are the numbers that you're still alive with if you got them. If you have 1-8-7 in the first, any one of those, 7-12-6 in the second, 9-10-3 in the third. By the way, we didn't say goodbye to Caton because in the middle of that interview, she had to go do her work for this racetrack. She's still working here today, so she's not just able to sit with us. She had to get ready to go do some stuff on the TV side, handicapping this fourth race. So she told us that through sign language and a little pantomime, and off she went. But didn't want you to, we weren't saying goodbye to her, so she went.
I don't think she was saying bye in the sign language.
She was telling me something else.
Yeah.
So I don't think Caton would do that. I know her.
We're
very
the
well.
Number one.
I don't think she'd do that. I'm fairly sure she wouldn't do that. I'm fairly certain she would not do that. The numbers that are alive.
This image where we've been like stone cold. She's so nice, but just.
Which just made her just like she's just had enough. Why'd you ask him two questions? You only asked me one question.
Stands up on a chair, pounds two beers.
You and your big head of producer. 1-8-7 in the first race, 7-12-6 in the second, and 9-10-3. If you're just joining us, we gave you a chance to send us a pick, a horse, in each of the first four races. And if your horse finishes in the top three in all four races, you'll be eligible for our drawing for a big monster prize pack. Now, I can't access the message thing from here, so the text line.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
Well, I'd have to go. I'd like to see if we have how many tickets we have alive. So I'll tell you what. Go to a commercial break, and while you go to break, I will tell you, I think today's the last day you can get involved, can't you, in the Draft League from draft.com, where if you go, you can get a free best ball entry, which is so cool. It's a snake draft. You put your team together.
It sounds
like
something. And
then it goes for the whole year, and you don't have to do anything, which is one of the big problems of fantasy football. We had a colleague of ours said, I can't play in a fantasy league. It's too much work I got to do on Sunday, and I won't have time to adjust my roster. This, you pick the players, and the computer automatically at the end of the games will organize your team so that your team gets the maximum number of points it could have had for that lineup. That's a pretty good deal. So it's just set it and forget it, but it gives you a reason to watch the games. You'll have some fun. So if you want to do that, go to check out the best ball event. It's 16 weeks later. You could be a millionaire. They got $3.5 million, real cash money from this. And you can play for free if you make a deposit
straight
and use my code,
in the words of
V-Show. Just use the code V-Show, and you can get a free entry into the best ball championship. But you have to use the promo code V-Show. A free shot at $1 million just by using the promo code V-Show when you make your first deposit on Draft. Just search Draft in the App Store or go to draft.com. Come play with the free promo code V-Show. All right, so there you go. So there's that. Good. Let's take a break, and then we'll go through, see if we get any live tickets. So take a short break, come back, and we're about 6 minutes away from the last race of our four-race show parlay here at Kentucky Downs on ESPN 680-1057.
You're locked on the V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 1057. Now here's Bobby V.
Bright Spring presents the 2019 UPS Plane Pole. Pull in for a purpose.
Hey, there's a plane pole? Kentucky.
What the hell was that? That guy just can't start talking whenever he wants.
I don't know. He's really excited.
Who is that guy?
He's really excited about the plane.
I don't care.
Pole.
You don't just march in and start talking all over the host.
That's Magic's doppelganger.
It really is. That guy sounds just like Magic. It really does.
What are Magic's doing?
Oh, that was. That's. We have three entries right now that are still alive, and they all need the 12 to be in the money in this last race. Very cool, and thank you. We got a lot of people who seem to really enjoy this. We got some nice texts about this.
About 3 minutes to post.
Let's see if
it's
that
right
one.
Here in front of us.
One,
this is nice.
7. Oh no, 111. Nope, that's out. 2. That's out. Marcus said 2. Lost right out of the chute. That guy lost right out of the chute. 1. Oh no. 1. Nope. That's so funny. 1. Oh no. 8 is alive. 7 is alive. 9 is alive. That's 4.
Cool.
We have 4 entries, all of whom need the 12 as their tickets that are still alive.
So then what? If those 4 people win,
none of them miss it. If the 12 doesn't get in the money, then nobody gets the prize. If the 12 comes in, we take a drawing. We draw one name.
Yeah.
They're eligible for the
I think
grand
they should
prize
have a race off.
First one to the station. Yeah, great. Somebody. Oh, here we go. Here we go. We could have a different winner here. If 6 wins, this guy will win it and by himself right now.
Oh, okay.
That's the only ticket I see. Oh, hey, why? Where'd it go?
Whoa, what are you doing? What are you doing? Okay, all right.
8 is alive. 4 is out. 2, nope. That's it. There you go.
This is beautiful. This is the best weather we've had. Because last year was really
nice,
but it was kind of windy.
I literally did nothing but go through entries that entire 3-minute commercial break. So thank you so much for everybody. If 12 comes in, we'll have a drawing from the 3 or 4. I think there's 4 people whose ticket is still alive with the 12. We've only got one guy who's alive with the 6. Good Lord, the 6 is 99-1 in this race.
This
that
guy's
guy
getting
gets
a
in,
prize.
He deserves it. Well,
this
what do
guy's
say?
Getting a prize.
What do you say?
Talk 4th place, damn it. That's
4th place.
We've just been talking about a show parlay. We've just been talking the top 3.
Oh, what he wants this? To talk about the 4th.
Yeah, talk 4th. That's
sorry.
You win.
Hey, this is awesome. They're going to start right in front of us, and they're going to finish right in front of us.
Hey.
I like to see the start of the races because this is a long one here. This is the 4th race on the card. It is 1 5/16 miles because that's what it is for 1 lap around the joint. And if you're just interested, the one is 32-1, the 2 is 50-1, the 3, Esfera by Brian Hernandez. I like him on this track. I think I'd play that. He's 9-2.
This is really pretty.
4 is also 9-2. That's Woodfin with Rafael Bejarano. Number 5 is Bye Bye Bullies, 33-1. Number 6 is Ladonia at 99-1, and that's one of the tickets that's still alive in this. How about that? So we'll see if that comes in. That would be the only winning ticket there. Number 7 is scratched. So if anybody was still alive and had 7 in the last race, they would have got the favorite, but there are none. Novella is the 8. That's 21-1. The 9 is Vanilla Cat is 8-1. The 10 is Comic Kitten is 5-1. The 11 is Zabava is 6-1. And the favorite is the 12, Jose Ortiz on Joy of Treasure, where we got four listeners hoping with all their heart that he is somewhere in the top three. Because if he is, they'll be in the drawing. If not, if the 6 is in, if the 6 and the 12 both finish in the top three, they're all in the drawing.
Right.
So their tickets would all be alive. So I want to make sure we get up there early this time because you want to hear him say racing. And the last two races, we missed it. So I'm going to come back to you in the studio here. They're right in front of us. As soon as I see the next to last horse go in, I'm going to come to you. And he just went in. So let's go back to the studio and get ready for the call. Oh, my goodness, the 2 is... Is that the 2 or the 3? The 3.
Saying he doesn't want to play anymore?
He was not happy. All right, they're waiting. Here we go. Let's get the call of the race. Good luck to everybody. If you want to root for something good for our listeners, 12 or 6. Let's take a listen.
Last runner loads. Scott Jordan about to release the field. Racing. Bad bobble for Esfera leaving the gate. Woodfin, devoid of early pace, drops right out the back in the early going with Vanilla Cat. Russian Girl from the outside post position is ploughing alone a furrow way out past the centre of the course. So taking them a little while to sort themselves out as they spin around the first turn, a mile and an eighth left to go. It's home field advantage on top, a length and a half by Bullies Ladonia. Tropical Wave lands fourth in a nice spot, and Russian Girl, after being extremely wide early, is moving up into the fourth position out deep in the green with Yellow Cap, and Zabavar splits horses. They're followed by Esfera getting to a midfield position after a bobbling dispatch from the gate. Next is Novella as they climb the hill, followed by Comic Kitten. Tropical Wave now back in the second half of the field with Woodfin, followed well back by Joy of Treasure, 12 from the lead, and Vanilla Cat. They top the rise. And one of the leaders here is Zabava. Zabava taking it up from Esfera, who comes all the way through to second. And Bye Bye Bullies is on the outside, followed by Home Field Advantage, Woodfin, Ladonia, and between horses Novella next as they swing out wide past the 5/8 pole. Russian Girl still plotting a very wide course. They approach the half-mile marker. And Zabava on top. Zabava from Home Field Advantage, who moves up again to second. Two lengths away, Esfera running third. Ladonia caught out three wide as they pass the half-mile pole. And just in behind these horses, Novella, followed by Comic Kitten. Bye Bye Bullies up a joint third, one off the rail as they draw past the 3/8 pole and come to the top of the stretch where Zabava leads Home Field Advantage, two lengths clear of Bye Bye Bullies and Russian Girl, Comic Kitten, followed on the inside by Esfera. Here's Joy of Treasure starting to come home strongly out wide in the orange colours and even deeper to Vanilla Cat from well back as they approach the 8th pole. Zabava's all over the place like a drunken sailor being headed by Joy of Treasure. Comic Kitten tries to match Joy of Treasure. They're followed on the inside by Woodfin emerging as a late threat. It tightens up for Comic Kitten at the 16th pole. Had to check. It's now Woodfin coming at Joy of Treasure. Tight photo. They're out of stride. I'll leave that to the judges. Woodfin or Joy of Treasure. Comic Kitten third after meeting Bother inside the final furlong. I suggest holding on to your tickets after the running of the fourth race of the day.
How about that? Congratulations. We got four of our listeners, 4 for 4. Joy of Treasure was, unless somebody's going to get taken down or something, he was either first or second. It came down. We've had some thrilling stretch duels today.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive.
That was close, right in front of us.
I was filming it live.
Nice.
On Twitter, and got so excited I put the phone down, so that photo finish. Missed it.
Joy of Treasure is either 1 or 2. It. They went, that's a photo. That is absolutely. The bad news is for our friend who had a little bit of a tickle there. Number 6 hung around there for the first half mile, wound up finishing next to last. So number 6 quickly dropped out of it. The 6 horse was Ladonia and was nowhere to be found at the wire, but came close. But number 12, Joy of Treasure, is either first or second. They still have not put the photo up. And you remember he said the one horse was riding like a drunken sailor down the stretch. I don't know if that's going to lead to any inquiry or objection or anything like that. There's been no sign of anything like that yet on the board, but they also haven't put any unofficial order of finish. Everything is just sit and wait. So I don't believe there'll be. It doesn't look like there's going to be any kind of an inquiry or anything like that, though. So that I would think you would have had word about that already. So it looks like we're just trying to find out if the 12, a Joy of Treasure with Jose Ortiz in the iron, was either first or second. But for our listeners' sake, it doesn't matter, because if he's either, you are one of our four winners. And I will leave it to Nick to randomly pick one of those names out, and we'll arrange for you to come and pick up your very, very impressive prize pack. Very, very cool.
You didn't star any of them, did you?
No. It took me 3 minutes during a commercial break. I'll do it again for you if you want, okay?
Good man. Yeesh. What was that NFL thing?
I need the ESPN Insider thing to log on. Do you have an ESPN Insider account?
I think we have one at the station.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Was it the bold predictions
one? My password
one?
Is. Yeah, we'll save that for tomorrow. I'm sorry. The only one it would affect might be a Packers or Bears one, because they get underway tonight. But everything else will hold for tomorrow. We can do that on Fast Break Friday with the Count, Mike Pratt. I have no idea why I wanted to call him the Count.
Why did you call him the Count?
I don't know. It just seems kind of cool.
I feel like you should call him the Duke.
I love the jockeys coming
piss off.
Jockey went over, gave baby a kiss. The guy shakes hands with somebody. It's just very cool about it's a combination of a major sports event and a county fair. And, you know, because the jockeys walk right by. They're 3 feet away from the crowd. They often will wave, say hello. You know, and the people who know them are on the other side of the fence with them over there. So there's a community. You see them coming off. They're talking to each other. There's a whole bunch of, it's a very social atmosphere. The horse racing community is a little tight-knit community. There is an objection. See that? I was right.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my.
That's going to mess
up. Could the number 12 be involved? Because the photo showed that Joy of Treasure, the 12, was in fact first under the wire. Could he somehow be involved in the objection? They won't even resolve this by the time we go off the air, I bet. But I don't think he was involved. I think it might have been one of the other horses. I don't know, though. They're showing.
Was it
here.
The Drunken Sailor?
Might have been. He didn't seem to have run a bad line, Joy of Treasure. I didn't see anything. They're showing the point of objection there. Horse on the rail, veer. Oh, that might have been him. Oh, my gosh, that's him. Well, they're coming down the stretch. They're showing it the head-on view. Joy of Treasure was on the inside, I think, right? I think he was. And if he was, as they start to straighten for home, and this is an uphill climb slightly, it's a really unusual track here. Fun for that reason. You start on the back stretch, they make a right turn, they go up a hill, they come down the hill, make a left turn. When they come into the final turn, the turn, as we've just been told by Aaron Greider, is banked, which is amazing. I don't think I've ever seen that on a race course. And then when they come down the very long stretch to the wire, they're running uphill. So, but I think that was him along the rail, and he comes out a little bit. But I don't know. I'm not sure who they filed the objection against. Usually they flash the number of who's involved in the objection. But I have not, and I haven't seen them announce anything either. So you guys wait and see if you won your sweepstake. I'm going to guess you're going to be okay, I'm thinking. Let me see if Kate knows. Let me hang on.
Who's the objection against? Against the winner?
Uh-oh. 10 against the winner. That's no good. Well, that's...
All right.
That could change things.
Well, the objection is the 10, who was third, on the winner, number 12. But Caton Bredar and Aaron Greider, who was standing to our left, you might have heard me call to them, said that from what they looked at, they don't think he was the one that was most at fault. When the PA announcer says somebody's running like a drunken sailor, you have a feeling that it may be
an
inquiry. But I think he's going to be okay.
But not usually.
I'm sorry, I can't help you. I know Andy's not going to give a rat's ass about it, so he's not going to tell you. But you'll have to go find out. If you had the 12, you're one of the four people who is still alive.
We'll tweet it out.
You'll have to wait and see. Good luck to you. We had fun here today. Unless you know somebody, we'll see you tomorrow.
The Take's next.
Sure is.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. apply now at upsjobs.com or text Brown to 33588. That's Brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.